Thanks for downloading the Overdrive podcast. If you're on Instagram, make sure you follow us at TSN1050. If you're not, sign up and follow us, even if it's the only account that you follow. Because if you're a big fan of the show, you've got to know what's going on behind the scenes. On Instagram, at TSN1050.
Never filtered. Always fun.
They're rich. What are they supposed to do?
They can do whatever they want, but I'm saying yacht.
So what is he supposed to do? Pull up the boat from Jaws? Say, hey, guys, ready to tee it up?
No, stay at the Ritz-Carlton with everybody else.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan, Ray Ferraro coming up here in a moment, our TSN hockey analyst. I guess he's off the course. I just assume he plays golf every day when he's not traveling or working. He's back in Vancouver now.
As he should.
He's got young children, though, so depending on if they're in school or not, he's catching up, but probably running errands. He's moved into a new house. I thought I saw, I don't know if Ray's on Instagram. I think he's on Instagram or on Twitter. I saw that he had something going on in his backyard, and Bobby Mack chimed in on him. But it was... I think it's Ray's downtime.
Well, it should be, for sure. That said, it's kind of a calm before the storm in the NHL, and in the NBA for that matter, because the draft is in a couple of weeks, less than that. Next Friday it begins down in Dallas. The NBA draft is next Thursday.
Yeah.
And then the courting period opens up right after that in the NHL.
I love that, the courting period. That's already happening right now.
Well, it's of course it is.
It's a circumvention. All it is a circumvention on collusion. Collusion used to happen. Guys, it'd be 12:01 and we got a signing already. Well,
really?
They don't
How'd
do
you get
it
that
in
done in
that
30 seconds.
That always shocked me that the league didn't call those parties and say, are you idiots? Call me back in 15 minutes.
Exactly.
Like, we can't do this at 12:01. You have a massive 5-year deal with no trade lists and all that kind of stuff.
When was Craig in here? Last week, right?
Yeah.
And he kind of, I didn't want to bring it up, but he let it out of the bag. He traded for me to Calgary from Minnesota.
He's like, oh, we already had the deal done.
We had the deal. I had signed the deal, hadn't signed it. I had agreed to the deal while I was still playing. I was in the AHL at the time, playing for the Houston Arrows. I had agreed to a 2-year deal with the Calgary Flames, but I was still Minnesota's property, and they had to trade for me and then sign me. So this was in May. I'd agreed to the deal. They traded for me at the draft and then announced the signing July 1st. So I knew for 2 months already. Couldn't tell people. Like, I don't even know if I told my family and stuff.
Really? So it was almost like a reality show thing. Like, you won, but you can't tell everybody you won or else...
Right. Like, I may have, like, let my immediate family know. I think I had a girlfriend at the time. But
that's dangerous. You told your girlfriend?
Well, it's not the Colangelo's wife situation.
It could be worse, though. What if you break up between then and the draft and she just goes haywire on you?
There was no Twitter back then. I think I was single, to be honest. But I
just think that's a big gamble.
Spicy meatball.
Telling a girlfriend you've been dating for 6 weeks. Hey, just don't tell anybody.
Don't tell anybody, but I'm signing with or getting traded to the...
I'm a party to significant sports tampering, and if it goes public, the whole deal will fall apart.
But don't
tell anybody.
But that type of stuff happens all the time.
Oh, of course.
So I don't mind that.
Yeah, of course.
That little window now for people to at least circumvent. And you're right. Lou sitting down with Tavares, or how are we pronouncing it?
Tavares.
I mean,
what I think is annoying and what should change. I think it should be public who the players are meeting with.
Really?
Yeah. I think this is a part of the machine that is media and fandom.
This is the machine that is you. You want it to be public.
I do want it public.
You want water cooler material.
What's the point of this courting period if people don't know who's being courted and who's willing to accept an invitation to a conversation? It would be so much more interesting if it was out there. Like Tavares, let's say he gets there. Let's say he gets to the courting period, and it seems highly likely that that's going to happen.
Yeah.
And for a week, he's met with some teams. You have no idea who he's meeting with. So what's the point? How does it benefit the fandom of the National Hockey League and the engine that is the rumor mill and TSN, Sportsnet, the NHL Network, NHL.com, all these massive companies that feed on this kind of information? If it doesn't get out there... And you can't have the requisite conversations that come with that. What's the point of the courting period?
So, but what if it gets out too? I'm just playing devil's advocate that he absolutely, like, Arizona wants to meet him, and he goes, nope.
That's
sorry,
fine.
Thanks.
No, I'm not saying you have to announce who you didn't meet with.
Okay, just who you met with.
Just who you met with. He's not going to meet with 30 teams.
No.
He's going to meet with 3 or 4. But why not make that public?
Okay, so if we had to choose...
That's just you. You want to know.
Yes, I do. What, you don't? You wouldn't want to know.
I just want to know where he signs. I don't care. Like, who...
So during that week, you would not find any interest.
Remember when we were at the draft, and apparently Vinny LeCavalier was set up in the hotel room, and team... I don't care who was there to see him.
Oh, see, I do. I care about that stuff. I enjoy talking about that kind of stuff.
So if you got what you wanted, Brian...
Yeah.
Who would you like to follow this summer? Is it JVR? Is it Tavares?
Absolutely. Those would be two of the guys at the top of my list. John Carlson. All right, here's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. I don't have a read on how Ray's going to react to this. I think he's going to agree with me on this.
Maybe.
All right, Ray, you there?
What's the question?
Not a good start. No. I don't think he's going to agree with me. I was just saying, during this courting period that the NHL has established now, the week between the draft and free agency, where free agents can talk with whoever they want and teams can reach out and request a meeting, that if there is a meeting between the two parties, that should be public. I think it's in the best interest of the NHL to publicize that news so that people can buzz about it and talk about it and there's excitement about it. But I don't think that ever really happens. How do you feel about that?
I think the NHL misses on virtually every chance to create interest. And I absolutely think this creates interest because everybody, you're a fan of Montreal or San Jose or whoever else is in the mix and your team's meeting, well, then you're interested more. Like, this whole courting thing is everybody kind of sort of maybe knows who they're meeting with, like public, you know, because it all leaks out. But man, that's where the interest is generated from. I 100% would be in favor of that.
There you go.
If you don't want to know, then don't listen.
Right.
But in most cases, people want to know, what is our team doing? How are we trying to improve? And this is an easy way for teams to do it, for the league to do it.
It makes it so much more interesting because if it's not public knowledge, now to your point, a lot of times it does leak, but not always. What's the point of the courting period? I don't understand what the point of it is if the fans can't benefit from it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's your own rule book. It's your own CBA. So this idea that you're putting forth a facade where now tampering doesn't exist. Who are you doing that to?
Don't you guys agree that the courting period, like, it's already going on right now, isn't it?
Probably in a lot of ways, for sure. But why not, again, during that week, if let's say it starts on Monday morning. And Sunday night after the draft, it comes out, Tavares is meeting with the Leafs on Tuesday, the Habs on Thursday, Vegas on Friday, the Sharks on Saturday.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
But that
sparks a massive conversation.
But it only sparks a conversation. Like you say, it only... I don't think the businesses care. I don't think Lou Lamoriello is sitting there going, oh, it's great that I've got to release
this out. Oh, he doesn't care. But last time I checked, Lou wasn't the commissioner of the league.
No.
Who cares what Lou thinks?
So you're saying from an entertainment standpoint.
Absolutely. That's the business you're in. It's entertainment.
Yeah. Yep. I just think that the minute, how would you have to do this? You would have to report, like, okay, I'm going to see this. The Leafs on Tuesday.
Well, maybe you don't have to do it beforehand, but let's say after it happens, it has to be public knowledge.
Right.
The team and the player have to send out a joint statement. We met today in Toronto. We met in New York. That's it. That doesn't mean that you're signing there or anything like that. But
right.
I think it would be a great idea.
Just think of the two things that are two other sports to compare with are in baseball before this past summer, whatever the hell happened, and nobody got any offers. Nobody wants to say that it might have been collusion or market correction, whatever it was. But the baseball winter meetings were always the most exciting time because everybody was making offers and you knew it was all clobbered together in one city at the same time. It was super exciting. The football offseason becomes the same thing right at the very start. And hockey, we have a chance here because they've added this 1 week session between the draft and July 1, it's a chance to generate interest at a time of the year where it's starting to go dead. It's starting to go quiet. Because we know once you get to July 1st at 6 p.m., there's going to be a few signings here and there, or maybe a big boy hasn't signed yet, but really, hockey falls off the map. And whatever you can do to extend the off season as an interesting period, I think it's beneficial to the league.
Even Dregs yesterday, the Kovalchuk stuff, he's in California, yep, tooting around, San Jose, L.A. I was like, that's pretty good.
Yep. Absolutely. That's great. That sparks, you didn't, that conversation didn't exist before it came out.
Right. Sparks conversation for sure and interest.
And then you're like, I wonder how he'd fit there. If he signs, do they have to trade somebody? That's the world we live in. Like that's how you get people invested, because if you don't have games, which they don't, you got to find a way to create some content. That's how why the NFL is, it's almost astonishing it's as popular as it is. They play 16 weeks a year, 17 weeks a year. 17. And then, what, 3 or 4 weeks of playoffs. There's 30 weeks a year. They're not playing. And yet, all we do is talk about the NFL.
But it's scarce. Like, they make it so scarce that you're hungry for it.
There's a big part of that, too. But they're also an interesting league because there's always player movement. And yes, there's some controversies. And, you know, coaches are getting fired left, right, and center.
Yeah.
And that's just the reality of the business.
Non-guaranteed contracts. You want water cooler material? Non-guaranteed contracts. Frederik Andersen allows a bad goal in the playoffs there. How many people would have cut Jake Gardner after the last game 7? It's ridiculous, and I would never do that. But I'm just saying, like, irrational people would be yelling and screaming about stuff like that.
Well, every time, every CBA, that's the goal of the owners, is to somehow wedge out the contracts. If they could get the non-guarantee, they would be thrilled. And whatever the players think, if they ever give that up, they are a collection of rockheads.
Yeah, I agree.
You have it, never give it up.
Ray, are you on board? Like, do you hear people talk and it's like, oh, the lock, like, do you think there's automatically going to be another lockout coming up?
No, I don't. And one of the reasons I don't, maybe I'm just hopeful, is that you're going to have two owners that paid over $500 million. If Seattle gets in on that time frame, they have some sway. I think there is a group of owners, the newer owners, they start to have a little more pull because there's more of them. And maybe you wrestle a little bit of power away from the old bitter hands that have been in charge for so long, that all they want to do is fight every time they're out of the box. Because there are ways to avoid this if both sides want to get to it. But if the same old boys are in charge, then we got problems again.
With Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, what have you made of this party scene down in D.C. with the Caps and them at the ball game and then swimming around in the fountain? I mean, it's been crazy, hasn't it?
I am such a lightweight. I would have been passed out 3 days ago. Like, what is Ovi made of? I am amazed every time a new Instagram thing pops up and he's in the fountain. Or, you know what my favorite one might be? When he was at the ball game holding the Stanley Cup up all by himself. Out in the outfield.
During the inning.
Like, and they zoomed in on it. He's in the double deck, like way in the outfield, and people are circling it there. He's just standing there. It was awesome.
And the one yesterday when he was barbecuing with We Are the Champions playing, like, has anybody, and I'm sure there's been other guys that have enjoyed it as much, but we've never seen it like this. I'm just astounded, amazed, entertained. It is something to see.
Well, I think what's being overlooked here, too, is he is a trailblazer when it comes to the first pitch routine. You see, his first pitch was a brutal one.
He's like,
I'm throwing another one. I didn't know you could do that. Carly Rae Jepsen probably wishes she threw a second one, or 50 Cent. Or
yeah, Nelly.
Who was the guy that almost hit his own foot?
Oh, I don't remember that one.
It was one of the rap guys, and he threw it. It landed 6 feet in front of him.
That might have been 50 Cent. Yeah, I think it was 50 Cent. That was brutal.
That was a pretty pretty poor effort. But he airmailed that first one, and he wasn't going anywhere.
No.
And then the second one wasn't much better.
But at least it got there. It was caught. I think it was Scherzer behind the plate. At least he caught it.
Yeah, it was there. What do you think they're going to look like tomorrow, those guys?
Ooh.
Oof. For the parade. Yeah. Remember when Kane was, they poured Kane out of a bucket for the one parade. I got to believe there's a few guys tomorrow that are going to be in the hurt bag.
Who's giving us the Corey Crawford, Jonathan Quick speech?
who would be, maybe Tom Wilson.
Yeah, I think he's pretty reserved, though. Like, I mean, even you talking to him on the ice afterwards, I thought he was awesome, like on the ice. Like, he seems quite respectful. He may not be the most respectful player on the ice, but he seems like a pretty respectful off the ice. Maybe that's why you get 20 beers into him and he goes off the deep end.
Yeah, we want a loose cannon. We want something tomorrow from these guys.
Maybe it's Smith Pelly. I'd like to see that.
Yeah, one of those guys. Someone to drop the mic. Maybe it's Barry Trotz. He doesn't have a contract.
That would be awesome.
That would be outstanding. It was the first coach to ever do it. Barry Trotz gets up there and just goes crazy.
How about when he came into the room after they won there and he was doing the hey, hey, hey? I thought he was going to drown. I was like, man, I got to tell you, those guys have had that. It was an amazing run, and they've just partied their ass off, and good for them. Man, that's the way it should be. That's got to be just such an amazing feeling to fight as hard as they had to fight. And, you know, no different than anybody else that's won. But, man, have some fun with it before you. Some dummy goes, oh, geez, I got to get back in the gym for next year. Yeah, have some fun for a while.
Well, exactly. You got like a week, give or take. You probably have more than that. But in terms of the spotlight being on you, you know, everything in D.C., my understanding, is all about these guys, as it should be. Everything in the hockey world is all about them. But once you kind of turn the page in the week and the draft starts coming up and there's other stuff going on in town, then you'll slowly fade into the background.
Yeah.
And you're right. I mean, there are guys who are UFAs. There are guys who need to, you know, present themselves to prospective teams and get in contact with their agent and find out what the game plan is.
Agent's like, I can't find him. He won't answer my calls.
Yeah. That wouldn't shock me either. Well.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be trying to get a hold of Ovi these days.
Pretty locked in with that long-term deal. I don't think he's too worried about it.
No, but I mean, like, could you imagine? Where do you think his phone was when he was in the fountain?
In the fountain.
It was in the fountain. There's no question that was in his pocket.
Yeah.
No.
That was outstanding.
Putin's trying to call him to set up a meeting, and he's...
Putin's going to steal the cup.
Yeah, exactly. He's going to fly to Russia with the cup, and it's just going to disappear in Putin's office.
I don't think there's anything off the table.
No,
right
there
now.
Really isn't. The summer of Ovi has already began. Well, we'll see. I mean, the parade is tomorrow, so I'm sure by 5 p.m. tomorrow we're going to have some pretty good audio. And we'll go over it, and we're going to start turning the page and looking ahead to the off season because there's a lot that's going to be going on over the next 3 or 4 weeks. You mentioned Kovalchuk. I mean, I'm not sure he's really on the radar because he's been so far off the radar for a number of years. But this is a guy who was a legit superstar, like potential Hall of Fame type player.
Unbelievable talent.
Ray, do you think he can give you a one-year deal somewhere?
I bet he's going to get more than 1 year. I think he's a two-year guy. I think he's a 25 to 30 goal guy still, because he's going to get 10 or 12 on the power play.
Somebody will give him three, Ray.
You think he'll get three?
Somebody will. You know, the desperation and the idiocy that goes on. Somebody will give him 3 years.
Well, look, L.A.'s dying for scoring.
Yeah.
Like, that makes sense to me. Like, that one really does. San Jose makes sense to me. And they're always kind of under the radar guys, San Jose. They've done an amazing job. And so those would be a couple of teams I'd go, you know what? I could see that happening for sure. When Dregs reported that, I mean, that made a hell of a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, that would be interesting. I mean, he's a fun player to watch. Like, he's a really fun player to watch. If he goes to L.A., I mean, the last time he was in the league, he lost a cup final to them. Pretty sure it was Jersey, L.A.
It was. Like, just think, so now he's playing with either Kopitar or Carter. And you've all of a sudden, you've got some pretty dangerous people to start to think about.
Yeah. Well, it's all about the dollars and cents, though, too, right? If you fit him in at a decent price, then does somebody else have to go out the door? Who knows? And if it's a three-year deal in L.A., the Doughty contract is always hanging over that organization. And interestingly enough, speaking of contracts, because this is going to be a huge topic in Toronto for the next month, month and a half, Bob McKenzie was on Leafs Lunch today, and I believe he said what he's hearing or what he's thinking based on how he's feeling out this process is that maybe Matthews and Marner would prefer to wait until next summer anyway. Even if the Leafs gave him an offer, and you have to believe the Leafs are going to try to negotiate come July 1st. They're allowed to do that, and these two players can sign long-term deals or short-term deals as early as July 1st. But I can't recall the last time prominent players, superstar-type players, young guys said, no, I'm good. I'd rather not talk contract right now.
Usually it's an automatic, like, lock me up.
Let's get it going here. Like, why wouldn't they want to talk contract? What would be the benefit of them waiting?
Well, what the benefit is they feel like there's an offer sheet out there.
Well,
that's a heavy gamble.
I think Matthews is a slam dunk for what he's going to get. I think it's Marner who wants to bet on himself. And why not have another year? If he can put together a consistent season of the way he played the last 4 months of the season, then he ups his value. But it was December, I think it was Christmas, he had 4 goals last year.
Yeah, so, he was 2 goals into December for sure.
Yeah, so I mean if he comes out of the gate and has a good season and gets 70 plus or 80 points, then he pushes himself into a different stratosphere financially for me. But why not bet on yourself? For Matthews, I think that deal could be done in 30 minutes if you really put your minds to it and where you think he's going to fall. That one doesn't make sense as far as waiting. But Marner, I also think Nylander should wait, too, or at least, I mean, just sign a bridge.
But he's an RFA. He's got to sign now.
I know, but I'm saying sign a bridge. Bet on himself.
Well, that's an option for all three. But
that's a huge game of poker to play, isn't it?
Huge.
It is.
Both ways, too, right? Like the Leafs.
Yeah.
Because let's use Marner. Like, I'm with you. I think we all agree. It makes Matthews, you got to believe, 8 years, 10 and a half, something like that, 11 million, I don't know.
Yeah.
And maybe his thought is, you know what, I will gamble, and I'm going to go out and win a heart, and then you're paying me like McDavid. Yeah. But that's a big gamble. You're going to be the best player in the league 100%. That's asking a lot out of yourself, regardless of your confidence. But let's say you are Mitch Marner. I mean, how much more do you think you're going to get a year from now? How much more are you going to get paid?
Craig was talking about it with Gord Miller today. Do you think Mitch Marner is a better hockey player than David Pastrnak?
I don't think he's proven that, no.
No, I don't either. I don't think he's better, period.
So that's 6'7". That's what Pastrnak is, 6'7", 5", or whatever.
Like, Ray, who would you take on your team, Pastrnak or Marner?
Pastrnak.
Yeah, it's not even a question. So it's like you're not getting more than that.
Yeah, well, exactly. And even if you can gamble and hold out all you want, you're still an RFA at the end of the day. So,
but I think maybe he believes he has somewhere in that comparable. So say he's got something with a 6 in it right now. Now, I'm not suggesting that. I'm not trying to start a rumor. I'm just saying, if he believes he's got something with a 6 in it and says, if I can blow the doors off the league, maybe I can get something more. It's situational, too.
Well, but how could the Leafs... I think what would be curious there is how the Leafs counter. And what I mean by that is, let's say they table the Pastrnak deal.
Yeah.
Just for to use it arbitrarily.
A reference.
Whatever it was, 6 years, $6.6 million, give or take.
Yeah.
And Marner goes, no, that's not going to cut it. Is it worth it for them to be like, all right, 7.5 a year? Like, is that worth it on their end so that he doesn't go out there and score 90 points and then all of a sudden, instead of 7.5, it's 9? Like, that's where the team, there's a gamble, there's an element of gambling and calculation from their standpoint as well.
It's a situation from both ends. You can say gamble this, gamble that.
And if he goes out and gets hurt or has an off season, you know, then they come back to him and say, nope, you're getting something with a 5 in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's, you know, there is a gamble on both sides.
Well, that's where you trust your agent. You trust his communication around the league. You trust his ability to build a case for you. Because that stuff, I mean, you can make the decision, but the rest of it's out of your hands. Like, you can decide, I'm going to play it out or I'm not, but you've got to get the information and you better hope the information's right, because you're going to make you're going to make the decision out of that. It's not easy. And the guy's 21 years old. Like, it's a crazy big decision to be making.
Huge. And we'll find out more in the next month or so. All right, buddy. Enjoy it out there. We'll do it tomorrow at 5 p.m.
Later.
There's Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst. Well, and some people are texting and tweeting in about the cap going up. And if you wait another year, then it goes up that much more. And then the percentage you get goes up that much more.
Yeah, but that's Matthews. That's not Marner.
No, of course not. But it could, every player, their numbers are going up based on the cap going up.
It's dragged up.
So correct. It could be, you know, cap goes up a bit. Maybe Marner gets an extra $250,000 a year based on that.
Yeah.
That's not nothing.
No, but it's like you say, it's a lot to bet on yourself for $250 a year when you're at that, like when you're at that type of financial pace anyways, like 6.5 to 6.75 or 6.75 to 7.
Is it really worth
it? After taxes and escrow, it's not that much money.
No, I hear you. But that'll be a story for the next month or so at least.
Yeah.
Ray Ratto coming up from the Bay Area, longtime media member down there on the Golden State Warriors, their dynasty. How badly did Steph Curry want the finals MVP? Could they pursue LeBron James?
I'm not watching. I swear I will not watch one game.
Me neither.
If they get LeBron?
That's a complete joke.
It would be a complete joke.
And I guarantee you he'll sniff it out too.
I'd like to believe he thinks of himself bigger than that, than jumping on a dynasty's bandwagon. But
I can't watch if he does that. Like
it'd be a joke.
Bad enough already.
Would that change your perception of him though?
Partially.
No, it wouldn't change my perception of him. Why wouldn't he do it? Can't beat him, join him.
But then.
But I will not watch one.
But you're comparing him to Jordan.
And yeah, Jordan never left. When he left, he was, you know.
Yeah,
an old Washington Wizards.
I don't even remember Jordan. I remember, but it was ugly.
Yeah. All right. So Ray Ratto coming up. We'll get into that conversation with him. Adnan Verk of ESPN on the Jays and Shohei Ohtani and the potential for Tommy John and his future. And Mitch Korn, the goaltending coach for the Capitals, will join us in about an hour on what's going on down in D.C. and what we can expect out of the parade tomorrow. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050. Shout out to Dwayne Casey, who has himself a new gig down in beautiful Detroit, Michigan. New head coach of the Pistons, 5-year deal. And I've noticed some people pointing out
how much money would that be at?
Probably around $6.5-7 million.
Seriously?
Oh, yeah, they get paid. Because I was about to say that. A lot of people are pointing out that now the Raptors are probably off the hook for his final year, which I think was $6.5 million.
But holy Christ.
That's chump change for MLSC. Like, it's worth something. Yeah. You know, it's not like they're not going to be disappointed that they get that money back. But I don't think they were losing sleep that they might have to pay Dwayne Casey.
They buried that in the minors for the hockey team.
That's exactly.
It's not even. They don't even think twice.
So what is it? Because he got a new job, they don't have to pay him?
I think that's the way it generally works. If you get a new gig and another team starts paying you, then the previous team
like that.
But you'd have to get remarried.
Yeah, you'd have to get a new girlfriend or.
No
new...
kidding. Not me, you idiot.
I'm talking about you though. What if that's the way it worked?
What?
If somehow you got remarried, that means all the 50% stuff is completely off the table.
Would you do it?
Would you get married out of spite to save the 50%?
There's not 50% with me. It's just a monthly payment. That's anyway. Move ahead.
I don't know how that works, dude.
Yeah, well,
I'll tell you in the break.
I haven't been in that game yet. Not yet. Yes. Ever. I don't ever want to be in that.
We don't want to be there.
You've got to be very careful
just
with
in
that
case.
Language.
Exactly.
That could cause me problems.
Call me if you ever get there. I got some tips for you.
All right. Adnan Verk of ESPN in about a half an hour on the Jays and Shohei Ohtani. Feels like he's closing in on Tommy John. And if that's the case, he's out until 2020. That would sting.
Yeah.
But I get the feeling the Golden State Warriors are not celebrating the same way that the Washington Capitals have been. Like, I don't think Steph is swimming in a fountain in San Francisco the way that Ovechkin is.
No,
that was the most ho-hum, just, okay, thank you very much.
Maybe
we'll take our trophy.
Steph's wife's got the trophy, probably.
She might. Well, she's got a big show coming up, so.
Like that, remember that the last time they won in that building? They were like, we're so happy to, you know, to pop the champagne in the visiting arena.
This was
now
very basic.
Like, okay, we're
very
out of
basic.
Here. Goodbye.
Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline from NBC Sports Bay Area, here's Ray Ratto. How you doing, Ray?
Having the time of your life. What's going on?
Yeah, we're having a great time, man. We're comparing and contrasting the celebrations of two teams. It's very exciting radio.
Ray, I often see you chirp the TSN personnel, whether it be Pierre LeBrun, Bob McKenzie, who do you like chirping the most out of all those guys?
It's such a target-rich environment. It's really hard to know. I think LeBrun, well, one, we go back a long ways, and two, well, look at him. I mean, he's a tire fire with shoes.
Well said. Well
he is
said.
One of our favorites. And getting him off the back end of a cup final, especially in Vegas, I can only imagine what LeBrun is looking like right now.
He looks like the inside of his suitcase.
Yeah, can imagine. Have you ever seen a celebration like that on Friday night where it was just so basic, just routine, like handshakes for everybody, no hugs, no high fives, no excitement, just well done, another title for Golden State?
I have, but it's been, you'd have to go back to the 49ers of the late 80s because they had become so used to winning that they already knew the drill, that as soon as the party ended, they had to get to minicamp because this never ends. It's the, you know, winning a title is the hamster wheel to hell because you are now expected to win the next title and people are already talking about it. I thought they got in their exuberance. I mean, they felt good for people like Nick Young and Quinn Cook who had never experienced it, but they know that, you know, just the square pounds of pressure on all of them is only going to get ratcheted up because the next argument is going to be not about what team they're going to beat, but can they beat the Bulls of the 90s or the Lakers of the start of the century? You know, can I get a dynasty that could even think about threatening the Celtics of the 60s? It never ends because we never let it end. And I think they get, you know, they already know. They already know. And frankly, they had already given hints about how tough this one was after the game. David West talked about, you know, you'll never know how hard this was. And Steve Kerr sort of alluded to it as well. I think this was a long slog, and they were more relieved and tired than they were overjoyed.
With Ray Ratto of NBC Sports Bay Area, what was your take on Steph Curry's pursuit of the NBA Finals MVP? Because he sure looked like he was going guns out in Game 4, which he should be. You know, the title's on the line. It's the playoffs. It's the finals. But Durant ends up winning back-to-back MVPs, and immediately that becomes a conversation, that Steph feels like he needs that type of hardware. What's your take on that whole story?
I think he would have liked the hardware. I don't think he needed it. And I think the other thing is, he knows how to compartmentalize the things that are gifts from the things that are earned. And the MVP is a gift. It's based on God only knows what from year to year. And, you know, he's the one who had the horrible shooting night earlier in the series. So, I mean, it's sort of a body of work thing. I mean, Durant had the most impressive game going into Game 4. And then he had a very good game again. So I think Curry, whatever disappointment he may feel, is minimal next to the fact that, you know, it's one of those things that he and his teammates don't vote on it. So I think they sort of say, well, you know, what do they know? And, you know, to the extent that Durant got it, he also knows that this is, you know, again, it's an award bestowed upon them by others, not by their peers. So they sort of, you know, they take note of it. It's nice to have, but I don't think they obsess about it.
Ray, what do you make of this talk or Twitter chatter that LeBron might want to have a conversation with Golden State? Do you believe that? Do you think that could actually happen?
Oh, I think they'd talk to him, but I don't think anything would come of it. I mean, for one, you know, the Warriors do not have to accommodate LeBron James, and they know it. Secondly, they don't need an alpha dog. They've got four of them, and what they need is bench help. So LeBron James, as weird as this is to say, does not help them. It may hasten their dynasty's end because they would have to gut a lot of important people on that team to to accommodate him. So I think, you know, he'd love to be wooed, but I don't think they're going to do it. So there's that.
Ray, I'm going to take you over to hockey a little bit. You enjoying what Alex Ovechkin's been up to with the Cup?
I don't think he's drunk enough. I have seen pictures of him with a free hand, and that's not what experienced revelers do. Everything else, good on him, because nobody's been slagged as much as he has over the years for not being LeBron James, basically. And so it suddenly, you know, it finally lands for him. He ought to, you know, he absolutely ought to just go hog wild. In fact, any day he's wearing pants is in and of itself a compromise. So, no, more power to him.
I think he's taken your advice, yeah, and he's run with it, man, because the parade is tomorrow, and he's got to be paying even money for going off. He's going to do or say something, English being his second language, although he's got a pretty good grasp of it. But if he's had, you know, pint after pint of vodka, then all of a sudden, I would say tomorrow it could be open season. Are you almost hoping for that, Ray, something crazy to come out of the parade?
I honestly think they've gotten the crazy out of him, but I am fairly confident that very few of them will remember many details of the parade. I think they will start the day with Bloody Mary's Hold the Mary and get right down to business on a complete drunken day that they've all well deserved.
Well, enjoy the next month and a half. It's a pretty wild scene in the NBA, the NHL, a bunch of different sports. And I think this is the first time we've had you on. It was great. We'll have to do it again. Thank you, Ray.
Yeah, the off season in the NBA is great because it's a tribute to the burning of money, and nobody loves that more than sports writers.
They do. Take advantage while you can.
Absolutely.
There's Ray Ratto of NBC Sports Bay Area joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Maple Toyota takes away the fears of buying a pre-owned vehicle by sharing service history, lien history, and accident history. Visit MapleToyota.com. He's a beauty.
Just calling Pierre LeBron a tire fire.
With shoes. That's awesome. Yeah, Ray, I think I've met him a few times in the rink out there. Like, very, very funny, very candid. Like, I think he's a guy you'd like to have a beer with.
Old school sports writer.
Exactly.
The old school sports writer.
Got a mustache,
type guy.
Too.
And he's been rocking that ever since I've been following him for 10, 15 years.
Very funny on Twitter.
He has the cookie duster in place.
Once you commit to it, you're in.
You're in.
Yeah. If you've had a mustache for 30 years, you can't lose that.
The tat Never. Man. What would the tat man, what
you
would
imagine
it take
if
for
the tat man wheeled in here with no stash?
What would shocking. It take for him to shave a stash?
Johnny Manziel wins a Grey Cup for Hamilton and wins the MOP award.
The Leafs win a cup? Would he do it for them?
I don't think he would.
He's a big Leafs fan.
He's more committed to Hamilton now. He's a Hamilton guy.
Manziel wins it.
Although Manziel, like, the CFL season's starting this week, and Manziel, he's not going to start.
Right.
But by all accounts, Hamilton, they're in tough. I think they start in Calgary. Probably get spanked.
Yeah, the Stampeders are always pretty solid.
If they lose the first four or five games and Massily's just an absolute gas can, then here comes Johnny Football, the savior.
There you go.
And I hope that happens. I'm looking forward to seeing him play. Mm-hmm. World Cup coming up, too, starting on Thursday. And big news on Wednesday, they're going to announce the host of the 2026 World Cup. And it's either this conglomerate between the States, Mexico, and Canada, or Morocco. And
Morocco will get it.
It kind of feels like Morocco's going to get it now. And we got to get into this because there's a lot to unpack here. It'd be really cool if Canada, like BMO, would be hosting games. Which would be really cool. Now it's 8 years down the road, but still. I'll take a World Cup in Toronto. It'd be amazing.
It'd be awesome.
So we'll get into that as well and more into it throughout the week. Adnan Verka, ESPN on the Jays, and Shohei Ohtani in the 6 p.m. hour, and Mitch Korn, the goaltending coach of the Capitals, will join us in 45 minutes. Overdrive is delivered by Skip the Dishes. Skip the Dishes delivers the food you want from the restaurants you love. Place your order using the Skip the Dishes app or online at skipthedishes.com. So Adnan Verk coming up from ESPN on the Jays. Jays take 4-4 against Baltimore. Bats came alive. The pitching's actually been pretty good recently. You know,
is it, or is Baltimore better? Just that bad? Well, where you're like, you're watching them, and you're like, oh, that looks pretty good.
Jays are a little, another level above Baltimore, but not much.
Garbage.
They're legitimately one of the worst teams I've ever seen.
Yeah,
like they're so bad. But even with that, like the Jays win four straight. This is the hole they put themselves in, and
that
it doesn't
one
matter.
Poor dude, they had pitching yesterday. It was like batting practice. Everything was a home run.
Yesterday was a joke. Like it was a joke
show.
But the Jays, even after winning four in a row, they're still 11 back of the second wild card. Think about that. You win four in a row, and you're still 11 back of the second wild card
spot. That's why Gibby's
had enough. Over, man.
That's why it is, exactly. And that's why they're in the position they're in. And this conversation revolving around Gibbons, I think what we're going to see is a bit of a turn here where everyone expects that he's a dead man walking.
Right.
Drastic change has to come to the organization. And I'm not even talking about Gibbons. I'm talking about the roster. But that's going to take a while to turn it over.
Mm-hmm.
They're a really old, beaten-down team. They need to infuse some youth. But Gibbons is probably sitting there like,
all right,
what am I doing here? I'm a I'm on death's row. Like, do I even want to be here if I'm just going to be a whipping boy? And they're not keeping him in tune with what's going on around the organization.
Yeah, it's probably 4 months left of that.
I've heard of situations in the NHL where the coach has gone to management and said, you can go ahead and do it.
Yeah.
Like, stop delaying the inevitable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just
still get paid. He's still going to get paid unless Gibby quits. If he gets fired, he still gets paid.
Yeah, for sure. I can't see him quitting. I don't think he's going to quit.
You don't quit.
That's you have a conversation where you're like, what are we doing here? What's going on? Now, he's not going to be unprofessional or anything stupid like that, but it's a different conversation.
When you
conversation.
Think about it, big picture, what the hell's the sense of bringing in a new manager at this point anyway?
There is none. Like what
I
you
almost
would,
said a bet. They're garbage.
Mm-hmm. You would have an interim guy.
Right.
You know, the bench coach.
Make sense, though. You ride it out.
I would ride it out. I'm not saying I wouldn't, but I think it'd be an interesting conversation if you went to them and said, I don't want to be here anymore. But then they might be like, all right, go ahead and quit.
Right.
And then we'll save the money. And then he's like, well, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
But anyway, Jays are in Tampa tonight. So Adnan will join us in the next hour. Mitch Korn, goaltender coach for the Capitals, get his read on the scene with Washington. We'll recap the cup final, the ride. You know, the whole playoff was a wild one with Washington. And it's U.S. Open weekend coming up, or U.S. Open week. The World Cup kicks off on Thursday. World Cup and the U.S. Open start on Thursday. And we got to get into the story of that Iceland, the manager of Iceland.
Yes.
And this documentary that's coming out, courtesy, I think, of SI.
Could be my favorite manager.
Such a cool story. A mm-hmm. story that would be so foreign and frowned upon by every coach in North America. Probably every coach everywhere else in the world outside of Iceland. So we'll tell you about that. We'll get into this conversation in the next hour. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050.